Hello and welcome to the Reloading Rag Chew episode 19.
Hi, this is Matt from Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns, and you're listening to another fantastic show on the Self Defense Radio Network. Visit selfdefenseradio.net to check out all the other great shows.
I am actually doing this podcast from the woods right now. I'm camping in the outside of Asheville, North Carolina, up here for an event. Realized that I had a good Sunday afternoon, thought I could knock a podcast out. We'll see when this one gets edited and put online. So I don't want to go too far into news because I don't know exactly when this one's going to be published. And I'd hate to talk about something that ends up being 6 months ago. This morning I woke up and it was winter. It's the first sign I've really had where it's freezing cold. I think I woke up and it was 27 or 28 degrees outside. Rather chilly night in a tent, but, you know, that happens. I've got a decent sleeping bag, so got one more night, and I got a couple heating pads to put in it this time that should make it a little bit better, but it made me remember something that I don't deal with too often, but it is a big deal for some people, and that's temperature sensitivity in powders. So I wanted to just kind of ramble on about that for a little while and some things that you can do and, you know, how to prevent it, which there isn't really a way to prevent it, but how to take it into account when you're developing your loads. And what it really boils down to is some powders burn at the same rate, really, regardless of temperature. I think if you were to see the industrial side data sheets of all of these powders, you might find that there are some very specifics of exactly their burn rate at different temperatures. I'm willing to bet that all powders have some changes in their state, but it seems that a lot of them are in temperature ranges where people don't really like to exist and therefore is not really a common problem. And that's a lot of pistol powders. I haven't found that many pistol powders that can really be described as temperature sensitive. Now, there are some that are, and especially on the rifle powders. So, what do I mean by this? Well, some of them will get slower as they get warmer by a little bit. Some of them will get slower as they get colder. And the people who are generally most affected by this, one, are hunters. If you are, and also that comes into rifle, there's some rifle powders that seem to get affected more than most pistol powders do. So if you're a hunter and let's say you normally live in Georgia or Arizona or somewhere where it's generally warm during the summer, you make your load up, you test it out, and that load is what you're going to take to Alaska to hunt grizzly bears. We get up to Alaska and you discover that because of the powder that you used, you've got very poor performance. And your bullets aren't going nearly fast enough for the expansion that you want or for reliable function. That can be a real problem. And then you're stuck in Alaska. And generally at that point, you're buying a box of ammo that's fairly expensive because up there, everything tends to be more expensive due to the cost to get it there. Not to mention, you know, the sporting goods store kind of knows that they got you since you've already spent quite a bit of money coming on this trip as it is. The other group that it affects, and I've seen it happen a couple times, are competitive shooters. So we've talked about power factor a number of times. And what can happen with them is they have a load that in their area and in their typical shooting environment is right on the edge. Say they've got to be 165 power factor, they're like 165.1 or 165.5 or something right there. And then they go shoot a major level match, which usually involves travel. And they don't make chrono. And they get bumped down to minor power factor, or worse, they get disqualified. And what it is a lot of times we don't think about those kind of things until it's a little late. And that's a case where you can have a real problem because, let's say, you're going to shoot a major match, you go out there, first of all, to find that out, you've got to find a buddy or someone who's got a chronograph, which is not undoable. You got to set up a place to shoot in a town that you're not familiar with, which, depending on the part of the country, could be very easy or fairly difficult. You've got to shoot it, and then if you discover that you don't make power factor, you've got to go out and buy ammo. Well, usually for a major match, you're bringing 300 or 400 rounds. So you're not talking an inexpensive expense to go out and buy that ammo. In addition, not all factory ammo will make power factor. I actually saw, on an unrelated note, an interesting discussion on the Triangle Tactical podcast. A couple of the competitive groups are trying to work with ammo manufacturers to basically have pre-certified, I'll call it, ammo, where if you go out, you know, let's say you go out and you buy Winchester Competition Extreme or something. I'm just going to make names up here. But that ammo has already been certified by IPDA, USPSA, whoever it is, which would be really great if they all get together and agree on it, to say, this makes power factor in any reasonable gun that you're going to shoot at competition, and therefore you don't have to go to chrono and you automatically pass. So that could be, if that comes to fruition, that could eliminate the second case. But either way, I've heard of a decent amount of anguish in the past for people who got caught with this. So how do we prevent it? How do we test for it? Those kind of things. For one, you can do your research, especially on the rifle side. The powders that are very temperature sensitive are fairly well known. I would do some Google searching, some Facebook group searching, some forum searching for whatever powder you're looking for and temperature sensitivity. If you are a hunter, I would go ahead and, if you can, really try and just avoid those powders. It's kind of prevention is the best cure, or whatever that saying is. If you don't have the risk of it, then you don't have to remember which rounds it is. You don't have to go through extra testing, none of that. So do your research. And also on the competitive side, generally you're not talking about stuff on pistol ammo that's going to swing that severely. So what I would do over there is just, and I know some of you guys are going to scoff at this, I wouldn't load that close to the line. And that's advice that you'll get from a lot of people. You know, if your power factor's, you know, your major power factor, 165, load at 170, load at, you know, minimum I would say load at 168. I'd like to be at 170 on average. That way you're covered. That way if the chrono reads a little slow, you're covered. You know, it's one of those, the match will have an official chrono, and you may have 5 chronos at home that disagree with what its value is. It doesn't matter. Theirs is the one that counts. So that's an easy way to prevent that. But I would also, if you're going to do that, do some testing, especially if you're drastically changing where you shoot. So how can we test this? Testing for cold is easier. Just put the rounds in a cooler and chill them down to about the temperature, or better yet, exceed the temperature range that you think you're going to be at. I would definitely, if you're going to do this, for one, don't just throw them in there, chill them for 5 minutes, take them out. Let them get a good cold cycle. If you think about it, it takes some time for all that stuff, especially powder, which is, you know, the case may feel cold because it's brass. Brass absorbs heat or cold very quickly, but the powder isn't going to do it. So leave it in there for a good couple of hours. Try and get it in the temperature range. And when you go to shoot it, you need to take it out, load it, and shoot it very quickly. Like I said, brass adjusts temperature really quickly. That's one of the reasons why it's brass or copper is used for a lot of heat sink purposes and those kind of things. It's even better than steel. So just by chambering it in your gun, your gun's barrel is going to be warm, especially if you fired any rounds before then. So load it quickly, shoot it quickly, get it chronoed. If you want to load to function check in addition, I would load an entire magazine and put the magazine and everything in the cooler. That way you've got the magazine holding some of that extra cold, and helping keep all of the rounds in there. But also, again, I would load it and I would shoot them very quickly. You're probably going to get some weird looks at the range if you start pulling your ammo out of a cooler. But remember, we're already kind of weird guys here anyway. So on the hot side's a little more complicated, but it's also a little easier. The simplest way is if you normally shoot it under the shade, put them out in the sun. You'd be amazed at the effect that putting something out under the sun can have. Put them in your car, put them right in front of the vent, warm them up there. Find a vent, you know, if you're shooting at an indoor range, if they've got a vent. That may be harder because most indoor ranges that I tend to find are a bit of meat lockers, which keeps the smell down, keeps the lead down. But there's lots of ways to do that. Worst case, keep in mind when you're warming them up, you are dealing with something that is a propellant, so don't try and get lazy on it. No, I'll warm this up real quick with this lighter or torch or sticking it in front of a propane furnace or whatever. You need to do it slowly. And keep in mind, you're very rarely going to be shooting in temperatures over maybe 105 degrees. I've got to think at that temperature, either it's going to be a really miserable hunt, and most hunting seasons aren't during the summer, or two, it's not going to be a very fun competition because, well, I mean, when it gets that hot, you're going to have people dropping like flies due to dehydration, heat stroke, all of those kind of things. So I would get them up in the 90s. And for that purpose, you know, you can tuck them in your pocket and warm them up pretty good. But what you're going to want to do is shoot a few at the known temperature, record the temperature, and then immediately shoot your other ones. That way you're taking out of account any of the various things that can happen. You're taking out changes to the gun. You're taking out something happening to the chronograph. You know, it's going to give you a lot more consistency. And keep in mind, reloading, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but reloading is not that much different than chemistry or most kinds of science. You are taking a group of chemicals. You are putting them together in a way that you are hoping to get a specific reaction. Unlike chemistry, it's a lot more reliable. We almost always get that reaction, and that reaction is things go boom, hot gases are created, and a chunk of lead, copper, or a mix of the two goes shooting out the end of the barrel, and we're all happy. But when it gets into, if you're at the point of reloading where you're chronographing, if you're at the point of reloading where you're really trying to get that data, use the scientific method. You want consistency, you want to do multiple tests to make sure that you get the same results. You want to make sure and record your findings very well. So all that stuff that your third grade science teacher blabbered on about while you were probably reading comic books, that actually matters now. However, the experiments that we're doing now are a whole lot more exciting than what we were talking about back then. Temperature issues are a thing when reloading. Like I said, it depends on the powder as to how big of an issue you have or how little of an issue that you have. But it's something you need to test. If you're loading plinking rounds, you know, and this is where reloading comes back to, there's a lot of different methods. There's a lot of different ideologies out there. There's a lot of different things that people care about. If you are loading rounds to go plink at your range, you know, I'm not going to say who cares about performance because we all want rounds that are fairly accurate. But you're not chronographing your rounds. You're not expecting them to provide an ethical shot in a hunt. You're not hitting a power factor. You're not meeting some criteria for another governing body. Then it probably doesn't matter. If you do live somewhere where there's a really strong swing in climate, you may want to test it before you load up a whole bunch of rounds, because you'd hate to load up a whole bunch that shoot great during the summer and won't even cycle your gun during the winter. But usually if that's the case, there's a workaround, whether it's a weaker spring during the winter or opening up the gas port, you know, without getting into being a gunsmith on this channel. Those are all various options. So keep it in mind, do your testing. Like I said, if you're just plinking around, who cares? But if you're in competition or you're especially a traveling hunter or a big, you know, a lot of us that hunt, we hunt, you know, deer season in Georgia starts in September. Firearm season starts in November, ends in January. Well, most of us are testing our rounds and loading for them around July or August, because it gives us July and August, get everything tuned in, you know, September, October for if there's an issue, or to get practiced up to go scout out where we're going to go, and then the rest of the winter to hunt. So we might be loading ammo when it's 90 degrees out and 104% humidity, and when we're finally shooting, it's, or when it counts, it's 30 degrees out or 40 degrees out. And while you can say that that's not really cold, which, no, it's not. We're Southerners. We're just kind of weak to it. That's still, if you look at it from a chemistry perspective and from the powder's perspective, that's a 60 to 70 degree swing. And depending on what chemical you're looking at, you know, in a 60 to 70 degree swing, water could turn from solid to ice. A lot of stuff can happen. So keep it in mind, test for it. And remember, if, you know, this is fun, but let's learn from it. Let's, like I said, let's use those principles that our second and third grade teachers tried to drill into us. And we ignored back then, but now they're coming pretty useful. So I hope everyone has a great day. Stay safe, and I'll see you around.